The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
We better get used to not talking too much sports, because it sounds like the further down this road we get, the less likely it is that sports is going to get back to normal anytime soon.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you saw what Jeff Van Gundy tweeted out, but I kind of think he's right. The reality is we're not getting NBA back. We're not getting NHL back. Baseball, maybe we'll get a short season.
I don't think football's college football on time.
No, I don't know if you saw this, but they actually were looking into moving the season up to July because they're afraid that this is going to come back in the fall. Texter asks, is Larry Metunsil even the best tackle in the league? Is he worth $3 million more than the
next? No, not even close. The point is, Larry Metunsil has the Texans over a barrel. Because Texans, what they gave up for him means they don't have a choice but to believe he is one of the top tackles in the league. And wherever he falls, it doesn't matter. He's not going to ask to be the 10th highest paid tackle. He's going to ask to be the highest paid tackle.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. Man, if you can't get pumped when that song's going. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Make Aaron feel important. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Probably the only sports we talked, but there you have it. Lots of other fun stuff, all available at podcastarena.com. At least hour number two will be shortly. No matter how you're listening today, if you're on the app, if you're on the radio, if you're on the stream, really appreciate you guys tuning in, and love that we're still able to do the show and getting to chat with all our friends out there. 281 asks, Fred, did you hear Turner speak about criminals during COVID-19? That AJ?
I didn't hear that.
He basically said, well, if you're a criminal, take the time off until this is over with.
Yeah, go back to crime later.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm not quite sure that's the message we need to be sending. But, yeah, okay. And I don't know about your neighborhood. And maybe it's just because there's fewer cars. I'm seeing a lot more of a police presence around.
That's, you know, I think it is because there's fewer regular cars around.
Yeah, because, I mean, I rarely noticed them in our neighborhood before, and now I'm like, hey, there's another one. Greg said, being someone who grew up in New Orleans and seeing Bourbon Street completely lifeless through this is borderline disturbing for me. And Last Panda was asking earlier, is there anything close to compare this to maybe a flood? I think for Bourbon Street, there's a pretty easy answer to that, because that was shut down for a long time after Katrina. For the closest thing I can think of, and I don't think you were here, so it probably didn't impact you at all, but after Ike in 2008, when we didn't have power for 2 weeks, I didn't have power for 2 weeks, and we couldn't do the show or anything, that's the closest thing, because you basically were locked in your apartment for 2 weeks. But the difference was, is there were a few places open, and shout out to Nick and Nick's place, because they were open like a day after the storm because they had power. So I was able to go there at least every day.
Right.
But everything else, I mean, it was pretty bleak. And for a few days there, you know, I was locked in the room and doing what I'm doing now, which is didn't have internet for a couple days. That sucked. And finally figured out a way to get online. But, you know, that was bad, but it was also, we knew it wasn't going to last. And like I said, 2 weeks, most people had their power back and most people were back to normal. And even Harvey, a lot of people's homes were destroyed, but they were able to get back to doing things relatively quickly. This, we just don't know because it's open-ended. And so, no, I've never experienced anything like this in my life.
And it was even after 9/11, everything shut down, but it didn't last. I mean, it was like a few days later, airplanes were flying again. And I mean, it was just, so for a short term, there's been other stuff, but I've never experienced anything like this, and I'm old. So,
hey, give a little breaking news.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The NCAA has voted, and they have voted to allow schools to provide spring sport student athletes an additional season of competition and an extension of their period of eligibility. So they're going to have the use of the NCAA Student Assistance Fund to pay for scholarship for students who take advantage of the additional flexibility, and they are going to expand rosters to make up for that as well. So anybody who is worried about seniors not getting to play in the NCAA tournament, things like that, they will all get another shot at it, which I think that's a good call, especially because by doing that, they are, in a way, I was worried about it at first because obviously they've got a whole new class coming in, and it makes it difficult when you've got, you know, if a basketball team has four freshmen coming in and no seniors leaving, then you've got an issue. But I think it does a couple things well because it does allow for that flexibility. I think this is good for the NBA too. Because this, in an ideal world, will slow down the youth movement to the NBA. And, you know, it may make some guys who were thinking about going, maybe they'll stay now. It may, you know, make some freshmen who are now having to play with fifth-year seniors. It may make them realize that there's a difference between being a grown man and being an 18-year-old kid. But I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, I am too, although I don't know that it'll have that impact because the guys who think they're good enough for the NBA are going to go anyway. Now, that's usually not a lot of seniors.
Boy, there's not. There's a lot of young guys who are going. A lot of young guys. And
yeah, they would have gone anyway, so.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys who are going to be really disappointed too.
Oh, there always is. I mean, they get bad information, they wind up having to play overseas, but I don't think it'll impact those guys as much. But what I think it's cool for are seniors who are really good players who don't have a future in professional basketball who will get another shot. And maybe a few of those guys, that extra year makes a big difference for them, and maybe they do get a shot in professional basketball in a year. And, you know, I think it's the right thing to do because, you know, and we beat up on the NCAA a lot. So I assume that's women's basketball, men's basketball,
wrestling,
baseball, softball. What about track?
Yeah, spring sports.
See, I think that's a good thing. So, you know, give those guys a chance. So somebody says, if that's just a spring sports thing, basketball wouldn't count. That's a winter sport. I think basketball was part
basketball
of it,
is a spring sport. You're either a fall sport or a spring sport, and basketball is a spring sport.
Yeah, and most college sports are actually spring sports. It's basically football in the fall, and well, basketball starts, but most of the sports that covers, and that's a good thing. Good for them. I mean,
baseball is the other one that I was thinking about.
Yeah, I wonder, though, how that impacts the baseball draft because, you know, they have a weird thing in baseball. You either come in right out of high school or you have to stay 3 years. I wonder if that has any impact on that at all.
I don't know.
Would that third year count if you were a junior this year? And could you be drafted?
I'm guessing what they mean by flexibility is they're going to let the athletes decide what's best for them, which I think is the right way to do it.
Yeah, I think it's the only way to do it. And congratulations to the NCAA for doing something right. I know we beat them up a lot.
And Levi says basketball not covered, but that's not what I'm reading. That's not what I'm reading this letter from the NCAA. If they didn't get a chance to complete their senior season, then, yeah, that would include basketball.
Well, but technically they did complete their regular season.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at it wrong.
Well, I have a guy I can ask on next break who can
Okay. Tell
me everything we want to know about it. So I will shoot him a text when we go to break and find out. But
Yeah, that's I hope it includes basketball. I mean, not going to help UH that much. I think they only have one senior on this team. But
yeah,
you know, from a selfish perspective, every little bit helps. So, yeah, that's I think it's the right thing to do. It really is. I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, some of the sports impact, but you think about some of these, you know, some of these kids that, you know, this is going to be their only chance to do this. And it's like I've talked with my daughter about, I mean, she's probably going to lose her prom and her graduation, which sucks. And it's going to affect a lot of kids in a lot of ways that we're only getting, you know, like one shot. Some of these athletes, man, good that they get another opportunity. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'm the bad guy. Duh.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I have a clarification on this, AJ.
Yeah, I've been reading up on it, too.
Yeah, my friend John Long, who's an NCAA compliance lawyer, I texted him on the break. He says, basketball considered a winter sport, so it's just spring sports.
So baseball, so basically. Basketball,
they're softball.
They're saying wrestling and basketball, because they were mostly done, that they're just done.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sucks.
And
because all the wrestling tournament, the basketball tournament, that's what those kids play for. That's a bummer.
Yeah, but at least they got in a regular season, so there's that. But
what's a regular season if you never get a chance to play for a championship?
Well, I mean, remember you were arguing Zion shouldn't do it last year, so, you know.
Well, not yet. How many guys are Zion? How many guys are going to be the first pick in the draft?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just saying, if that's what everybody's playing for, then everybody should be playing for it. But, no, I mean, kind of sucks, but at least they did get in a full season. It's not like, you know, like baseball where they got like a month or whatever. But I guess the only, I mean, like softball, stuff like that. So that's for kids who probably aren't going pro in anything anyway. So it works. I'd like to have seen it for basketball, but oh well. I mean, but hey, it's something. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And 713 has a question for you, AJ. That's all right. Says, how have you trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu all these years and not gotten cauliflower ear? I'm a blue belt, and my right ear is starting to develop it a little. Any suggestions to avoid?
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I guess I was just lucky. I've never even had the slightest hint of it. What I tell everybody is stay on top, and that stuff doesn't happen to you.
almost every guy we've ever interviewed, though, has it. You know,
it's a genetic thing. It's like there's some people who are predisposed to it and some people who aren't, and knock on wood, I've never had a single issue with it, but I've also had to help my teammates drain their ears, so it's pretty disgusting, but yeah, luckily I've just never had an issue with it. I guess if you want to, you could wear like wrestling headgear. There's some guys I know who do that, but for me, I never worried about it because I figure I'm not, you know, a handsome anyway. What's the big deal if it happened? But it's just never happened to me.
It adds character.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like having a really large nose and being a really unattractive guy.
Exactly.
Character. Yeah, come on, guys. Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, let's go ahead and do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok jeweler gem of the day.
You know how much we love doing play-by-play of high-speed chases, right?
Yeah.
I would have loved to have gotten an opportunity at this one. Washington State, where a man was arrested following a high-speed chase in which the suspect's pet pit bull may have been driving the vehicle during part of the incident.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Apparently, they have not publicly identified the 51-year-old man. By the way, if you're 51, what are you doing running from the cops? I mean, geez. He's facing several charges, including DUI, reckless driving, hit and run, and felony eluding. And it was not immediately clear where he's being held. But the pursuit began, and according to the troopers, the man was driving a 1996 Buick when he allegedly struck two vehicles at the Boeing access exit in Seattle shortly before 1 o'clock. Of course, the chase ensued. Boy, I'm trying to picture what kind of 51-year-old man has a 1996 Buick and then goes on a car chase with it. But he was spotted shortly after 1 on a bridge, and he was traveling over 100 miles per hour. And apparently at one point, the man told him he was teaching his dog how to drive. When they finally got him, the pit bull was in the driver's seat.
Well, hey, respect. I mean, it keeps you out of a DUI, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, designated driver, right?
Yeah. Sure, he doesn't have a license, but that's on the dog, not you.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, he's a pit bull. He might have just said, listen, I will beat your ass if you don't let me.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah, I think this is not that I'm suggesting how you get out of a DUI. You need to go to Gary Trichter for that.
Right.
But that's not bad. Hey, no, the pit bull was driving, man. And you tell him not to drive. It's like telling a wolf not to drive. So
yeah,
no charges against the pit bull, though. So, all right. That is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I thought that was a fun story. It's, I think anything you can do to avoid getting arrested. I have this weird vision of a 51-year-old man in a 96 Buick, though. It's like, why are you running from the cops? And you're too old to be methy at that point, right?
You would think so, but
theoretically.
I mean, that's tough. That's there's definitely 59-year-olds who do meth.
Oh, yeah, but not. I mean, I would just assume that was Florida or Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah, that's the places.
Maybe I expect a little more out of the state of Washington. Maybe I need to lower my expectations.
I would say that's probably the right move.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So I have Yard Barker did the best overall drafts for each team in their history.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Dallas, they have, like, 1964, so I don't want to go back to that. But would you care to guess who was the best draft in Texans history?
It was the Mario Williams, D'Amico Ryans draft, right?
Yeah, that's so Mario Williams, D'Amico Ryans, Eric Winston, Owen Daniels.
That's it. That was a good draft. Four highly functional players.
Yeah, I mean, above-average starters,
yep,
certainly. And, you know, it was so funny because the whole thing was, oh, is it going to be Reggie Bush? Is it going to be Vince Young? And then they took Mario, and they were just, everybody was just like, what the hell? You know, because, hey, everybody wants the flashy offensive toy, right? And, you know, Reggie Bush, everybody thought was going to be this. And he did have a real nice career, not a first overall career, but I think Mario was a little underrated.
Very underrated, in my opinion.
I mean, if he hadn't have been the first overall pick, I think you'd be talking about, man, this guy had a really good career for the Texans. But that's the problem. The expectations, just like with Clowney, I mean, the expectations for a guy that goes first overall are through the roof. And if you're not one of the best defensive players in the league when they draft you there, then you're going to be considered a disappointment. And I think Mario had a really good career here, a lot better than people gave him credit for. And I was surprised they punted on him when he did. He still had a few good years left in Buffalo.
Yep.
But yeah, that turned out to be a pretty good draft. I miss the days when the Texans drafted well. Well, I miss the year.
I miss the days when they drafted.
Yeah, well, there's that too. But, you know, it's funny because I think at some point I'm going to go back and look and try to find the second best draft where they got multiple players like that. I think that's going to be a harder sell because, you know, I mean, where you got four above average players at their position. Okay, that's clearly number one. But, boy, I don't know that I remember one where they got three after that.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look. But
no, anyway. We've gone through this process plenty of times. There's plenty of draft failings for that team.
Yeah. The Cowboys, it was their 1964 draft. So not really going to go through and analyze something that happened the year I was born. But all right. Let's take a quick break. We got two segments left to go. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman's Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Two segments to go. Mr. Hoffman, did you have anything that we haven't gotten to yet that you wanted to hit? Because I've still got plenty, but
I did. I had a couple of football-related things. I saw that Herm Edwards was saying he's got, like, basically pretty good information that Cam Newton's going to be a Charger.
I think that would be a perfect spot for Cam Newton. I think that's a team that's pretty damn good at pretty much every position. And if he's healthy, that's a guy who can make a difference. I think that could easily be a playoff team because, you know, he's not going to turn the ball over as much as Rivers did last year. And one thing about Cam is he was always pretty clutch in the fourth quarter. And if I have any bitch about Rivers from last season, it was almost like, okay, we're going to drive down and get in position to win the game, and then he's going to do something stupid.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is if they get him, I would expect they'd get him on a one-year kind of a prove-it deal, which they should.
Right.
They could also draft a quarterback. And you know, that it lets you get a guy like maybe a Jordan Love that you're taking more of a risk on and a guy that probably needs more time to develop. So maybe you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. And if Cam doesn't work out, well, you're probably going to suck anyway.
Well, you still got Tyrod Taylor, who's a functional backup.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor is an excellent backup quarterback, but you don't want Tyrod Taylor starting football games for you, I don't believe. So I think that it's an opportunity to buy cheap and then use either I think they've got a late first or either their second rounder on a quarterback, and you know, make him sort of a developmental type guy.
Well, they've got a pretty high first round pick. I mean, I think they could easily trade that down.
Well, they do.
And
the other option would be, if what Lance said is true, and a guy like Tua is going to drop, if you can get Tua and you can sit him until he's 100% fully recovered, isn't that sort of the ideal scenario?
Yeah, that'd be perfect. And then, you know, if Cam has a big year, then you've got a trade chip there.
Exactly.
Either with him or with Tua. I mean, maybe, you know, they've been in that situation before when they had Rivers and Breeze, and you know, worked out pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, I can see.
But like Lance said, he can't picture Tua falling past the Chargers at six. So if that's the case, to me, that's the perfect guy to grab.
Yeah, and I think that that really helps him in the L.A. market. I don't remember who I was reading it about, but apparently there's like a huge Polynesian population there. And, you know, they're going to need anything they can get. So
right.
if you're able to get a guy like Tua, who's your franchise guy for a while, and he doesn't have to play right away, well, that's pretty much a dream scenario.
And if you can't, if you don't get Tua, then and maybe if you can't get Justin Herbert, then trade down. You know, find a guy later in the first round. I mean, that to me, that's a perfect opportunity to pick up a couple more draft picks. Because, like you said, the Chargers are good at a lot of spots. You know, they're probably a playoff caliber team at a lot of spots. And you also mentioned their fourth quarter problems last year, and that's really the 5-11 that you see. It wasn't as bad of a 5-11 as, say, like, you know, the Panthers had or somebody like that, the Dolphins.
Right.
This was a team that was in games late and lost a bunch of really close games, and it could have easily been, you know, 8-8, 9-7 on a few plays here and there. So if they can get right at quarterback, I think that's an interesting team, and they don't have a lot of holes that need filled, at least glaring holes that need to be filled immediately outside of that position.
And when was the last time Cam Newton had receivers like this?
I mean, been maybe, a while.
Yeah,
Steve Smith.
And Steve Smith was the only guy I could think of. I mean, he would have terrific receivers. And while he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey behind him, I love Austin Ekeler. I think he's a hell of a player.
Yep.
Especially if he becomes the guy. So, I mean, he'd have some weapons. And I think, you know, the whole thing is just health. As long as he's healthy, then, you know, that would be a great fit. I think that would make the Chargers a – I mean, they're not going to be better than the Chiefs, but that'd make them a playoff contender for sure.
And Sportsnot did an ideal landing spots for the top five remaining NFL free agents. And I guess the top five is – I guess it's up for debate. But the five that they go over are Jameis Winston, who they say the best landing spot for him is Tennessee – which is interesting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's almost assuming that Tannehill gets injured.
Yeah, I still like the idea of him going to Pittsburgh to back up Ben, because, you know, if he winds up having to play, I mean, he's still a significant upgrade over those donkeys they trotted out last year.
I agree. And the way that the Titans are built, that's a team that the reason why Ryan Tannehill was good last year is because he didn't turn the ball over. Because it's
right.
A run-based team, you cannot afford to have turnovers. And that's what the biggest issue for Jameis Winston and his turnovers. If you add 10 more turnovers to Tennessee last year, they're probably not a playoff team. They're not a team that can overcome things like that.
But maybe in that offense where he's not the focus and he's not having to make plays, then, I mean, that benefited Tannehill. Maybe it benefited him. Maybe it isn't a terrible idea.
Everson Griffin to the Colts. Which I think that's a good idea. I mean, that's a guy that, although I think that there's still something that to be looked at. I think that Jadeveon Clowney would also be a nice fit there. But adding another pass rusher to the other side of Justin Houston, that would be big for the Colts.
Yeah, I like Griffin a lot. They signed Xavier Rhodes already this week too,
yep.
Which I thought was another good pickup for them. But
if he's got anything left,
yeah, I mean, he wasn't great last year, but. It was only a couple years ago he was in that argument for best corner in the league. So, of course, sometimes when those guys lose it, they lose it. But I'd like Griffin going there. I just wonder – I still don't get the sense the Colts want to spend a lot of money. And somebody's going to give Griffin a decent salary. But
yep. Well, we'll and Clowney. And they mentioned Clowney on this list, too, to Arizona. You know, he's definitely not getting the $20 million-plus that he wants. But – Arizona would also it'd be a good fit for him, too, because you add him to a front that's got Chandler Jones, and now you've got bookend pass rushers, which is it's a nice thing to have.
Well, and obviously they've upgraded on offense, and they've got some cap room because I don't know if you know this, but they made a deal a couple weeks ago to dump David Johnson's salary.
Oh, so, I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jason Peters, offensive tackle. They say Seattle would be a good fit. He's 38 years old. But, man, if that's a guy, you sign him and you put him opposite Dwayne Brown, now that offensive line in Seattle is looking damn good, and you can kind of get by with whatever receivers and nonsense you're running out there with Russ, because he's going to be protected, at least when they're all healthy.
Yeah, I'd like that a lot. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, you're not setting yourself up to be good for 5 years with those two.
No, but they're in a window.
For next year.
They're in a success window.
Yeah, and you can always draft and develop somebody, theoretically, to replace him next year. And, yeah, I like that move a lot. I think that makes a ton of sense.
How many teams in the NFC can you definitively say are going to be better than Seattle next year? I mean, I think there's some teams that I'd hear an argument for, like the Niners, the Saints, the Vikings. There's some good teams, but I won't slam dunk that any of them are better than the Seahawks.
No, I mean, I think, depending on what happens in the draft, but I think the Cowboys have a chance to be really good, especially with the coaching change. But, I mean, am I going to sit here and tell you I think they're better than the Seahawks? No.
Yeah, it's tough. Then finally, Cam Newton to New England, they say. They've got the second least cap space in the NFL, just over $700,000, so they'd have to move some things around. But obviously, and I've said this before, Cam Newton makes way more sense than, you know, Stidham or Hoyer or Cody Kessler right now. And if he's healthy, you've got an instant contender.
I maybe an unpopular opinion. I think if he has a choice, he has a better chance to win in San Diego than New England.
You mean in L.A.?
I mean, yeah, L.A. They're still the San Diego Chargers.
You're never going to kill that one.
No, I can't get past that. I never will. I mean, but no, I think he has a better chance with the Chargers. I'm just going to call them the Chargers from now on.
Good call.
Don't care where they're from. The Southern California Chargers. But, yeah, I think he have a better chance to win there than New England. He certainly has more weapons.
Well, I don't disagree.
Wow. I thought you were going to tell me I was stupid.
No.
Oh, well. I gave you plenty enough to tell me I'm stupid about. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. One segment left. Speaking of stupid, we got a dumbass report coming. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I don't know if my phone's right, but it says that I have paced 7.5 miles since the show started. So,
hey, man, I doubt that's right, but...
I doubt it's right, too. I think it's having problems from the GPS because I'm just going back and forth. But, you know, it sounds good. So, hey, quick PSA before we get to Dumbass Report. Mount Pleasant in League City is a dog spot, and they've got a few rescue dogs left. They're trying to get them homes. So they can't keep them all because they can't keep all their employees. So if you just go to MountPleasantAvenue.com, if you're looking for a dog, they've got some nice ones there that they're trying to find homes for. And I know it's a hard time to take on another pet, but if you can, it's MountPleasantAvenue.com. It's also on
Instagram. Thank you, Fred.
So that's thanks to our buddy Holly, who knows the people down there and asked for us to get that out. So
yeah, save them creatures if you can.
Yeah, man, that's something that we need to be really worried about in all this is animals, but we'll get to that another day.
Clay County, Kentucky. Sheriff Patrick Robinson is reporting that on March 27th, deputies arrested Julia Hill, 41 years old. The arrest occurred when Deputy Arnold was dispatched to a complaint of a possible intoxicated female at a hotel on Highway 80. Upon arrival, Deputy Arnold came into contact with a female who was determined to be under the influence. Also, it was noted the above-mentioned subject claimed to be the mayor, and she demanded a room. Here's a pro tip. She's not the mayor. She was instead charged with public intoxication of a controlled substance, excluding alcohol, which is probably meth. And yeah, and that's never a good move to play Do you know who I am when it's not really who you are,
guys?
Yeah, that's Southeast Kentucky for you. No surprise there. This is one of my favorite stories. A driver ignored the coronavirus lockdown and made a 220-mile round trip to pick up some windows that he bought on eBay. He had bought some windows online and was stopped by police, where officers discovered his wife in the trunk because the windows had taken up all the room in the car. The windows wouldn't fit in the trunk. He was like, well, we got to make a sacrifice here. And his wife got in the trunk. The driver was given a ticket for the offense. And, dude, it says it's not funny, but you just have to laugh. What on earth are people doing? Shouldn't be out of the house to begin with. And now he's making his wife ride home in the trunk of his car. Probably not the best, not the safest move.
I'm pretty
just want
sure
to get a truck.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'm pretty
well. This
sure.
was in England, and you can back me on this. How many like pickup trucks did you see the entire time we were there?
Oh, zero. I mean,
zero. They don't
streets
exist.
Those streets are so small and so crowded. You've got to have a small vehicle.
Yep. Most New York is a scary place right now, but New Yorkers are having a Corona potluck, where they're inviting friends over and hanging out. And I'll be honest, I said this is crazy. Guess what my wife's parents are doing? They're having a weekly get-together with their old friends. These are old people getting together. Now, they live in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, and they don't go anywhere. But I said, what are you guys – I mean, the best thing that can happen is you have a nice – evening with your buddies. The worst thing that happened, one of you guys dies of coronavirus and you can't get out of Bend, Oregon to get well.
Not wise, guys.
So it's happening in New York. It's happening even in my own family.
Oh, well, guess what? My wife had to chastise her parents because they were doing the same thing, and her dad's in his 80s, her mom's in her 80s, and, you know, they're in good shape, but you're in the 80s getting this thing. And there's a lot of people in Saskatchewan getting it, so she had to tell them, you've got to stop this stuff, guys.
And I have more stories. I don't have enough time to get through them all, but I have more stories of people coughing on cops and claiming they've got coronavirus, thinking that that's going to make the cops leave them alone. It doesn't work, guys. You just go to jail and your charges get upped. It's not that's not the right move. You're not going to get out of whatever stupid offense you have. You're just going to get more tacked on top of it.
People suck, AJ.
They do.
There's no question. I mean, anybody who's doing that kind of stuff, and I get it, it's probably drunk guy thinks it's funny. It's not. You're going to wind up in jail. All right. Fun show today, guys. Thanks for making it enjoyable. Great job, AJ. Great job, Aaron. I wasn't bad today. We'll do it again tomorrow if we're still here. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.